From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. It's been a record-breaking year in Afghanistan, and few of those records are good. There have been more bombings, more battles, and more deaths than at any time since 2001. The upsurge in violence is especially visible along the country's border with Pakistan, where Taliban and other insurgents have regrouped in recent years. Today, we begin a five-part series on the escalating and related conflicts in Afghanistan and Pakistan and the enormous challenges they pose to U.S. foreign policy. NPR's Kabul correspondent Soraya Sarhadi Nelson reports on the deteriorating situation in Afghanistan and why it's happening.
Governor Fazlullah Wahidi's speech unveiling new road projects here in Kunar province highlights the tense security situation in Afghanistan. A U.S. Army helicopter flies overhead, drowning out the governor in his heavily fortified compound. Nearby, soldiers stand watch over the assembled guests, their guns at the ready in this border region that is the scene of frequent battles in both Afghan and Pakistani territory these days. One of the attendees is U.S. Major John Barfels. He's the executive officer of the American Provincial Reconstruction Team that does most of the development here. Later, Barfels reflected on the security measures at the ceremony.
Well, I guess it does remind you that there is still a counterinsurgency fight going on. We haven't got the message out to everybody yet.
The message he is referring to is development and governance. Western and Afghan officials say those two factors are what ultimately will bring stability, not only to Kunar, but to all of Afghanistan. Yet most say development and governance is something most Afghans still don't get enough of. A case in point is Kunar. In this volatile border province, where most civilian aid groups refuse to work, it's been up to the U.S. military team to bring development. Barfels proudly points to $82 million in projects that are or will soon be underway. He says the 100 projects will bring jobs to Kunar and give its unemployed young men an alternative to joining insurgent groups. A half hour's drive south of Barfels' office, local council leader Mohammed Miran reveals a different side of Kunar. Miran, a tribal elder with a thick white beard, says it's not opportunity, but violence that is growing here. He says the Taliban holds sway over remote districts in Kunar, like Sarkani, where militants bombed a mosque and a girls' school in recent weeks. He says last Tuesday, Taliban fighters who came from Pakistan launched another attack with rocket launchers and guns, this time on his home. Miran says he made repeated phone calls to Afghan authorities for help, but that for hours no one came. His 35-year-old son, who just returned from the hospital, pulls up his tunic to reveal a large bloody bandage on his back, the result of insurgent bombardment. Captain Khalid John commands the Afghan Army Brigade in the district.
People are under so much pressure from the Taliban that they are forced to aid the enemy. They don't trust that the Americans or Afghan government will protect them and take care of them.
Such lack of trust is all too common. Across Afghanistan, many people no longer believe their government and its Western partners can make the country safe. They are demoralized by widespread corruption, the lack of law and order, and mounting civilian casualties at the hands of U.S. and NATO forces. Adding to their fears are increasingly brazen attacks by militants. A growing number of foreign officials and aid workers are also fed up. Aid groups curtailed their travel after the Taliban killed three female aid workers traveling by road just outside Kabul. Christopher Dell is the deputy chief of mission at the U.S. Embassy in Kabul.
It's clear the perception of deteriorating security has sort of gained hold, I think, in most people's understanding of the country. I think part of that reflects tiredness. I mean, it is 7 years of war now.
Dell says the increased violence is in large part due to Western forces escalating their campaigns against insurgent strongholds. He points out the number of bombings in the capital is actually down this year, despite several well-publicized attacks.
I think when people look back, I can throw this hypothesis out there because it'll be years until you can call me on it, but I think when we look back, people will recognize that the summer of 2008 represented the turning point.
But few here believe that things in Afghanistan only seem worse. Joanna Nathan is a senior analyst here with the International Crisis Group.
You cannot ignore the internal factors, that there's a disillusionment and a resentment among the population that drives many to join with the Taliban, even though they mightn't agree with them ideologically. It has become a fairly diffuse protest movement, and that's how it's managed to spread geographically, by making short-term linkages and alliances with all sorts of disgruntled communities and groups.
The disillusionment is something that needs to be tackled, and quickly, says United Nations Special Envoy Kai Ida. He says adding Western troops here is not enough. Instead, Ida believes the international community should spend the next 6 months turning public opinion around by stepping up efforts to build a competent police force, strengthen government, and eliminate graft. He also says foreign aid must be increased to so-called swing provinces around Kabul that are vulnerable to insurgent influence.
That's why, instead of talking of military surge, I've been talking of political surge. That's what's going to change the situation on the ground. That's what's going to change the confidence of the people in what we are doing and in the Afghan government.
Afghan officials insist regional players like Pakistan must be part of any solution. Amanullah Saleh heads the National Directorate of Security, which is Afghanistan's intelligence agency.
Everything that happens in Afghanistan in terms of security incidents is in one way or another linked to Pakistan. Either masterminded there, the culprits trained there, or the attack was financed there, or the attackers go back to there for recuperation.
American and NATO officials share those concerns, although Pakistan says such assertions are exaggerated. Nevertheless, its new government has stepped up the pursuit of militants in its tribal regions. Asif Durrani is the chargé d'affaires at Pakistan's embassy in Kabul. He says his government has killed more than 3,000 militants this year. More than 1,300 Pakistani troops also died. Durrani says Afghanistan and its Western partners should look at their own conduct.
There's a need for a real assessment of the situation after 7 years. And we should be seriously thinking and going back to the drawing board.
Others say it is time for Afghanistan to think about negotiating an end to the conflict with the insurgent groups, a proposal that appears to be gaining acceptance both here and abroad. Saraya Sarhadi Nelson, NPR News, Kabul.
And tomorrow we hear the U.S. military's perspective on the Afghan conflict.